We are just starting 2023, but we spent a significant amount of our time in 2022 talking about inflation. It is a clear and present challenge for families here in British Columbia and remains for all Canadians. At the same time, we've also been talking about interest rate hikes as well. And once again, that remains a clear and present challenge for family budgets. And there's still been talk that interest rates may go up another quarter point or even half point this year as well. While the worst is behind us, we are still dealing with the repercussions of high interest rate environment, or certainly it moving up quickly. And of course, inflation that has a huge impact on a family's budget. Joining me now to talk about the impact, the economic storm that many British Columbians are dealing with, is Mario Canseco, who is president of the Research & Co. Polling Company. Mario, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Jess. Great to be here with you.
Yeah, happy New Year to you. Good to hear your voice, my friend. Walk me through. You've just had a new poll that you've released, and looking at the sort of the impacts, the economic impacts, and some of the challenges that families are facing. What were some of the findings?
I would say the one thing that really caught our eye is the expectation was that people were going to slowly return to their pre-COVID-19 levels as far as their household expenses, their purchasing power. And we're in field the last week of the year, and we have a significant amount of British Columbians who are noticing more expensive prices for many things, but who are also finding it difficult to save money either for retirement or a rainy day, having money for leisure, such as dining out and entertainment, and almost half who say that it's difficult for them right now to pay for necessities or make ends meet. So we continue to go through 2022 and with the assumption of everything is going to be better, everybody's fully vaccinated, people are coming back to work, and we're slowly getting back to where we were back in 2019. And it's actually the opposite. The situation is getting worse because of inflation.
Oh, so, and I think in your sample, 45% of BC residents that you polled say their household financial situation is worse now than before the COVID-19 pandemic. And that's up 12 points since you did a similar poll in March of 2022. Where is this uncertainty? I mean, at this point, British Columbians are dealing with the challenges before them. What are the political repercussions of that? I mean, right now there's no election coming or anything like that. But it seems like the populace is quite ornery right now. They're not happy. They're angry. Like, we have low unemployment. And yes, there's inflation. And one would argue there's plenty of work around. But people obviously aren't very happy.
No, I think what we see here is really three different elections by the time the next one rolls around. You have a very concerned group about housing, which is the 18 to 34 year olds. How do I get into the market? How can I abandon my situation as far as renting a house and actually having something of my own? You have the over 55s who are now very worried about healthcare, essentially a group that wins elections, as we know, that is looking at the situation and going, thank you for the COVID-19 management, but now it's time to get the system back to where it has to be. And now we have the middle demographic, anybody who's 35 to 54, definitely more worried about money, having more trouble saving for retirement, having more money because they maybe have a kid who they're taking care of, or they have elderly parents that need extra attention. So you have those three different lines, if you will, as far as how the election can go. And for a while, Generation X was sort of coasting. You know, I'm not dealing with all of the housing difficulties that the younger generation is, and my health is fine. Now it's more about the economic strife that Generation X is feeling, which certainly wasn't there 2 or 3 years ago.
In regards to these sort of three demographics that you've talked about here, it seems like there's a bit of a generational reset going on. I'm not saying baby boomers are going anywhere. They vote, as you say, they can make a difference in elections because they do get out and vote. At the same time, you're seeing housing over the last couple of sort of provincial election cycles been at the forefront, and that says a lot about millennials who are letting sort of their voice now be heard as well. Do you view this as a bit of a generational reset as well in regards to priorities for our province federally and provincially?
I think it is happening quicker than most people expected. I think there was an expectation that maybe when the federal election rolled around, we would have a larger discussion about our place as it relates to money. Because we didn't have the inflation that we have right now. And when you have a situation where 83% of people are saying groceries are more expensive, 73% are saying transportation is more expensive, that starts to eat into your budget. And it's one of the problems that we're having right now with that generation that sort of said, I'm already in the housing market. You know, I can deal with some of the changes that we're seeing as far as the interest rates. And, you know, everybody's fine here, so I don't have to worry necessarily about healthcare. This is a group that is starting to see their paychecks and not going as far as they did back in 2019. And this is one of the reasons for the government to really connect in that way. And it's not going to be an easy election for the NDP. They lost their largest asset, which was the actual popularity of our former head of government, John Horgan. So there's definitely an opportunity for the opposition to connect on the economic file, which is something that the BC Liberals or BC United, if they rename before the election, can do very well.
Can any government actually solve this, though? When you talk about housing, the Liberals, the BC Liberals, ended up in opposition for that very file, one could argue. The prices haven't dropped under the NDP. Healthcare cannot be fixed in 2 months or 6 months. That's, at the best, a medium-term solution and a long-term solution. It's systemic as well. I mean, if you look at it, these are problems that are very deep. They're tough. We didn't get, in the housing, once again, we didn't get here 5 years. We got here because of 20, 25 years of not building enough, yes. Not building enough affordable housing. So can any party actually solve these very deep systemic problems that we have?
I think it's all about establishing an emotional connection with the electorate through specifics. You know, if you know somebody who was able to find a place because of something that the government did, or if you know somebody who was waiting for a surgery that happened at a quicker pace because of some actions that the government took, it's a little bit more complicated to measure. But I think part of what we're seeing right now, especially in the early days of the David Eby premiership, is trying to set that foundation so that in 6 months or a year, you have an opportunity to say, this is starting to get fixed. This is why they've had all of those announcements about nurses and doctors. You know, this is the number one issue for the over 55 crowd. They might be able to say, employment levels are fine, but if you don't deal with the situation that is affecting me and my family as far as family doctors, I'm not going to vote for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting year. I think, as someone was saying, you know, we've got plenty of jobs that are out there, low unemployment, but with interest rates and inflation specifically, there's just a lot of sort of frustration and anger out there. And sometimes people don't know why they're angry. That's my sense of it here. As a talk show host, you hear a lot of it and you go, well, there's challenges, but there's some underlying challenges that you mentioned that I think that are driving a lot of it as well. Mary, well, thank you so much for your time, my friend.
My pleasure, Jess. Anytime.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.